The foot is on
Triple M. Sunday.
This is one of those days.
The day of rest.
When you wake up.
The time for reflection.
The birds are chirping.
To take stock.
You're smelling the clippings off the lawn.
Except on Triple M. This is the Sunday Rub.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
That's it, same bad time, same bad channel. Welcome along to the Sunday Rub. 2 hours and 20 minutes of non-stop entertainment coming your way as we lead up to the blockbuster. It is the Giants versus the Kangaroos from Tasmania. Cannot wait for that particular game of football to unfold. A lot to get through before then. We've got a couple of nice guests appearing on the show. Luke McDonald, Ruse defender, as well as Phil Davis, the injured Giants defender. Can't wait to see him out there playing very soon. So much to get through. We've got the stock exchange, the quiz, and we will get to the Ross Lyon situation very shortly. Don't worry. Yeah. I know you're tuning in for it. We've got some information that is going to blow your socks off, but as always, the captain of the team is here, the Duck Wayne Carey. Hello, Ducky boy.
G'day, Howard. Good to be here. Actually, I'm up and about. We've been let out of a small cage into a bigger cage.
That's it, but
it allowed us to go. Took the kids to a nice just family restaurant last night and had a meal out. So it was
nice.
Just lovely. So up and about today, Howard.
Our star forward Nathan Brown is here. Hello to you, Noodles.
Always good to be here, Howard. Love footy on a Sunday. Love being with Duck and Ross. Oh, can't wait to speak to Ross about who he's coaching,
we'll get there, and
talk to Jay-Z about the press conference.
Every media outlet in the country is tuning
in. If you're listening, don't go
anywhere. They're not going to be disappointed, I can assure you.
Hopefully. We can get to Jay-Z's press conference the other day with Robbo.
We'll get to there as well. Jay Clark is here. Hello, Clarky.
Oh, great to be here. He's the man of the moment, the man to my left here. He's sort of got clubs just scrambling for him. And I'm just wondering whether we, as sort of, you know, the media powerhouse that we are going to be able to hold on to him? Does he want to be with us or does he want to be with them?
I am prepared to address that in a moment. Okay. We might as well get to the main man. Hello, yes. Ross.
Howard.
Lovely. Don't come with that smart Howard stuff. It's Mark to you, Ross. How are you, great man? It's been a big week.
It's great to be here. It's good to be amongst friends.
No trepidation sitting here.
That photo that I sent around the other day where you're rolling with the aviators, it was in all the papers. Was that the press conference you held by yourself in the park?
Yeah. I sort of had to... I don't know why they didn't give me a going-away press conference. Well, I sort of did.
But you did one on your own in the park, didn't you?
Yeah, well, the reason, because they were all camped at my house.
Mm. Yeah, and you went out in the aviators.
And I spoke to I didn't have much else going for me at that point. I had to have the oversized, the XXL green nudie wind cheater and, the aviators. So I had to call my own press conference to... My young fellow's getting a bit agitated with the press. He said, "Dad, I'll get after." I said, "No, you won't, son. Just sit there." So, got good advice. You know what? If you call the press, coordinate it. And I was going to go early. But then Luke Morfess was a good man. He said, "Can you just wait till the club does their presser?" And I was like, "Well, okay." I thought, yeah, I'll have a listen to that to see how they send me off. And then I thought I'll have last reply. So that worked okay. Just everyone rolled up to the East Fremantle Sharks Junior Football Club down the river, sort of. Bit different to my original presser when I went over there.
Ross,
which I was at.
If you're concerned about your young bloke was getting upset then, if he listens to the show, I'd advise him to turn the radio off right now because there are a couple of things to address. Mm. Now, you boys are the star of the show. I understand that. Nate's our glamour forward. Duck's Duck. Ross is Ross and Jay-Z are the number one newsbreaker. I'm just here to help Leroy push a few buttons and generally steer the show.
Reckon.
Facilitate. I'm a facilitator. But I just want to give people a little bit of background on the history of the show. So, Jay, you, I and Duck have been doing this show for 5 years now. We've been doing it for 5 years. Now, I just want to get a few facts on the table. Mm-hmm. This is leading to the Ross situation. Don't worry. Generally, where does the Sunday Rub sit across the football landscape as far as ratings go?
Well, a long way ahead, you know, like 100% ahead, clearly. We've been a long way in the head of the ratings for at least 5 years.
So we are the number one show on a radio. Yep. Awards that have come our way?
I think we won them all. Duck, 3-time special comments champion. We won the best footy show a couple of years ago with Ruse. So, you know, the trophy cabinet feels pretty full.
That's right, Duck. Yeah. The media awards yourself. Yeah. How many times have you won it?
Yeah, three.
Three times.
Back to back. Or three in a row.
That's right. So what we're ascertaining, here.
It's been a high
Yeah, where are you building?
Well, we're not the Gold Coast. Suns, we're the Hawthorn in the three-peat. That's the style of team we are. Yeah. Now, we lost Schwatter. He went on to bigger and better things, and we pushed for another big key forward in Brown. We pushed and pushed and pushed for Brown. Mm. Eventually, Jono said no, but we got Nathan, which was outstanding, and he's fitted in very, very well. Haven't you, Nathan?
You said you wanted me to go with you yesterday. You said, when I go after Ross, I need you to come with me.
But you've taken us to
potted me.
You've taken us to the next level, and I appreciate that.
I'm 50-50 at the moment.
No, you're with me. You're with me. So then the great vegetarian, Rodney Eade, says that he's got other things on his plate, so he is stepping away. So Duck, Nathan, Jay, and I, you won't be aware of this, Ross.
Where was Roosie?
Well, no, Roosie was prior to that. Yeah. Roosie was prior. Mm. He decided he wanted to move to Hawaii and, I don't know, get massages. So I don't know what Roosie
I think Roosie, once we won that award,
yes,
the year Roosie was here as well, I think Roosie thought, well, we've won the award.
Correct. That's the unspoken word, is Roosie asked for a massive pay rise and we couldn't afford him any more, Nate.
That's why he was out the door.
That is, that's, well, that hasn't come to light before, but now Duck's brought it to light, yes.
I didn't know that myself.
Well, you do now.
By the way,
he was saying Roosie asked for more money and they knocked him back.
He deserved more.
That's right.
Well, it's quite topical.
It is, and we'll get to money. So Jay, myself, Duck and Nathan went into Triple M management and they said, and this is another exclusive I'm going to bring to the table, we think we are going to get you on a Sunday, Nick Riewoldt.
Yep.
And we were like, okay, that's good. But Duck and Nathan and you piped up straight away and immediately said, we want Ross Lyon. So they wanted Riewoldt.
Yep.
We wanted Lyon. There was pushing and shoving to the point where Duck said, if it's not Lyon, I don't think I'm going to be involved in the show. You remember that conversation, Duck?
Yeah, of course.
We're correct. Out. You do know Nick still works at Triple M,
don't you? I do.
Okay, no, just checking
just
on that.
Not on this show. Not on this particular show, because you boys wanted Ross to the point, Duck, you wooed Ross. You sat down and had coffee with him. Just take us into that setup at the day.
When? Did I?
Yes, you did. You had coffee.
Yeah. We must have.
My word, you did.
Yeah, a lovely little place in Windsor. Yeah, what's your regular there?
That's right. So we were very excited that you were coming to join this premiership.
Yes.
Elite group, Ross. Now, after the first show, and I'm going to break confidence here, Jay. I hope you don't mind.
None.
After the first show, Clarky, you rang me. I was driving home on a Sunday, and you said to me, and I remember it clearly, I quote, mate, I thought with Ross we'd got the number one draft pick as far as media goes. I'm not sure he should be rookie listed because that is how bad his first week was on the show. He was rough at the
Did
start,
you
wasn't
roll
he?
With that, Jay?
That's exactly what he said to me. And I said, Clarky, I think we can move him from a rookie list. Yeah. I think we can turn him from a Mason Cox-style scenario into a big game player. So I just want, before people...
But I love that feedback.
Well, and you're going to get more of it right now, Ross.
I've had plenty.
What people don't realise, as we, as a group, have been building Ross's brand for the last 2 years, people forget how bad, this man was when he first joined us. Now, I want to go back to his first couple of weeks. The radio's a pretty simple thing. You put things on your ears, you're talking on a microphone. But this, old super coach from the West, this is how crap he was early doors. Nice, isn't it?
Who was your hero growing up, Ross?
You have to put your headset on, Ross, or it's not going to make much sense. Rossy, you need to put your headset on to be on the wireless. Rossy, you need to put your headset on to be heard on the wireless, Ross.
I thought we were still off air, Harry.
That's what we started with, Nate. He was a million miles away from playing in the AFL at that point.
Simple question.
Yeah. A million miles away. But we started to take him and we started to shape him.
Yeah.
And we started to work with him, trying to get him a senior game.
The rough edges.
That's right. And there were plenty of rough edges.
Yeah.
So we had a, we had an issue. He was boring in press conferences, but Jay said, no, we can work that out of him. But when he first started trying to ask questions on the wireless, Nathan, I thought, oh, we can't shape this man. This is what he used to do with our sponsors.
$12 chances.
Is there any other value we can find in this game, Timsy?
Well, the total match points line has been set at 135.5. I'm going to look back over that at $1.88.
Some of the most wooden delivery I've ever had on radio that night. We tried to improve him last year, and he's just gone with, is there any other value
I can find in this game?
He nearly went with the Ronberg and put the question mark on the end. Boring. That's what he was. He was bored. We saw this funny guy in his press conference, and he came out here and he was boring our audiences and the ratings for the first time in 4 years.
No, they took a bit of a dive.
They took a dive.
Coaching Fremantle.
That's when management rang and said, are you sure you don't want to go with Riewoldt? We said, no, we want to stick with him. We can work with him. But then the other thing, Duck, you need to do, pretty simple.
You put some work into
Well, pretty simple going over the years. Basically, the commentator calls the goal, announces the score, And then the special comments bloke starts to speak.
So it goes.
Ross, it can get 50 people in an organisation moving in one direction. Yes. He was struggling early doors to get his head around something that's been going on for 60 years on the wireless. Just have a listen to him. Harry kicks the goal. Ross, we're pumping him up, but he still hasn't quite realised with his special comments when someone's lining up for goal, it's probably time to zip it.
I thought he kicked it. Mate,
well,
it
he has now, and
penalty.
Our audience understands he's kicked the goal now, Ross.
Sorry, it was a laid-down Mazaire fans. It was a 50. It was 48
out. But then people
out
on the wireless, they can't see that, Rossi.
Look, I'm a rookie. Just, you know, I've done an apprenticeship, takes, you know, the AFL 4 years. It can take me 10 weeks. Just give me some support. Lead me through.
Just stop talking for a moment, Ross. Harry's kicked the goal. The Blues are 7-6-48. The Demons are 11-7-73. You can continue banging it out, Ross.
No, I've had enough.
This is where we were, Nathan. Yeah. This is where we were.
Was this pre or post when he bought in the 8 litres of Gatorade?
Well, I didn't want to bring up the fact that he was that hungover he couldn't see straight. But wait, dark as they say in the ad, there is more. Now Ross came from a football background where he's used to speaking to a group of highly charged men, and it'd be fair to say sometimes his language probably in a football environment would be okay. But you can't swear on the radio, and our poor producer, Rabsy, he's pressed the dump button more times this year on Ross. But we've just tried to compile. This was Ross on a day he was hungover. This is what he was rolling out, and we had to take care of this so the kids out there, Nath, didn't hear what he was talking about. That's right.
Geelong really came for a long period. Saints back into the third. You know what? A memory's drop, Mark. Yeah. King not picking the ball up. If you had a kick straight, they're under enough pressure, the umpires. You know what? Do it behind closed doors. Don't give your players the out.
Yep.
There's a little bit of breathing factor there.
Come on, Ross. Finally, we started to get him to be an elite media performer, but I didn't want to go with this. This was our producer, Rabs, that said he thought we need to put this in. Ross has spent the last 40 years wearing clothes given to him by football clubs. Mm. So he's used to wearing the Fremantle jumper or the Fitzroy jumper or whatever corporate wear he has to wear. And apparently there's a lot of showers at football clubs so you can keep yourself, Nath, nice and clean and hygienic. But this is your area. You like fashion and you're a well-groomed man. You're always clean. You always smell nice. This is the one I didn't want to bring up, but it'd be fair to say some of the way Ross would roll into the studio, we found something needed to be done about it. This is unfortunate, but you need to hear what he's done in the past.
Ross's feet today. It's a visual one, but he's got no shoes on. And his feet are that dirty. I can't stop looking at him.
He's like kicking his toes.
I had to help my son mowing the lawn. He didn't want to finish the job. I was on the nature strip.
I don't want to say he looks like a homeless cat that's just wandered in here. But I'm selling Ross's feet. They're a real sort of stubby, dirty, stinky looking.
Ugly looking foot, isn't it?
With some real pink toenails and really disgusting stuff around here.
Dirt on them.
Oh, they're no good.
Are you throwing in the stained shorts? Oh, I might buy that.
Yeah. Sell the Birkenstock as well that he came in with.
Rosie was always quite neat and tight. No, wasn't he?
Throw in the fishing shorts, I'm fine.
That is where we've come from. Yes. And as a team, Nath.
A long way back.
He is a long way back, but now he is elite. He's much talked about in the media. People want to get a piece of him. So, and this is where I'm disappointed, Duck, as the man that tries to put this show together. I hear all week, Ross Lyon is available. Ross Lyon doesn't have any commitments. Ross Lyon could potentially coach. Ross Lyon doesn't have anything else going on in his world. Mm. He's not committed to any team out there. And I'm sitting at home thinking, what about Nathan, the Sunday Rub team?
Exactly.
What about the team that has taken him from Mason Cox-style territory and made him into a star full forward? Yep. We have done everything, Nathan, to give this man a chance. So I think
Picked him up when he was down.
That's right.
Because when he left Fremantle, there was no lower man.
No
than
lower
Ross
man.
He was basically just get out of this state. We don't want you anymore. Get back to Victoria.
Defensive.
And we have
boring.
Him up. Yes.
That's right. Just defensive.
What a bootstraps.
No one had watched him the way he coached the way. Mm. But we gave him a chance. We've worked through all these issues.
Yep.
So I'm thinking that's just media talk. They don't understand Ross's commitment to this show and how heavily he wants to be involved. So.
Yep.
I turn on Footy Classified, where he's become a media star, thanks to our work, and I think they're going to finally ask him the question, and he'll say, no, I am committed to the Sunday Rub. I won't be sitting down with other clubs, and I was going to be filled with joy, and I thought, Ross is sticking fat.
Yep.
This is the first thing I hear on the show.
If someone rang me for comment and said, can we talk? Of course I would sit down and have a discussion, but I can't give you a flippant answer here.
What the bloody hell, Ross? We've made you a star, and someone, Collingwood or Carlton, you know, shows you a little bit of leg, you say, oh, where was I?
Look, I popped quick, didn't I?
My word, you popped
quick. As always, the media out of context. Yes. I said, I'm answering this as a media commentator.
Yes.
And it was just about if an AFL club, there's only 18 jobs, unlike hosts, where there's a few of them in the country here. Podcasters.
Exactly. There are only 18 jobs.
So yes. If we went per capita ratio to job, you know,
I'm a figures man,
podcast
Ross.
Host. And what would it be? There's 18 jobs, 30 million people in Australia. Do the math, Howie.
I'm a figures man, Ross, right? I'm a figures man. So I look at it and go, you know, you do the Channel 9 stuff, you do the Triple M stuff. You're probably handsomely paid for that, for what you do. Maybe, what is it? We work for 6 hours today, and you probably work for an hour for Channel 9. So you get 7 hours work a week, then you go and do your property.
No, footy classified, 6 hours.
Yeah, I'm tipping that maybe.
There's a number.
It's around 400 or 500. I don't know. Let's just throw that one in there. Now, to go and coach Collingwood, and you are going to be that under the pump. Mm. Yeah, it's probably $1 million a year, a job, to be a senior coach at the moment. So that's what they'll be looking at for. Is the hassle worth it? You lose half of that in tax. All of a sudden it comes back a little bit. Is it worth it for how much? How easy is this role? You sit there, you're half asleep most of the time, and then you come out with a bit of a comment every now and again. This is a cushy job.
Well, it doesn't get any better, Ross. Let's go back to the feedback. It actually makes sense, the contract that come through from Austereo this year, 2020. It actually had a line through special comments. It was just comments. So I'm actually going to, you and McKenzie, we need to talk.
His name's you and Giles, so you've got to get the name of the boss right.
I was thinking the actor,
Obi-Wan Kenobi. So we've set the scene, we've had a laugh, we've showed that without us, Ross, you were absolutely nothing. I'm disappointed you didn't show a little bit more faith and say you were committed. We'll move on because, Clarkie, you now want to ask the real questions.
Well, do you have the passion commitment? We know how all-consuming it is.
So not at 400.
Carlton and Collingwood are queuing up. You know they're going to sit down and have that cup of tea, that conversation with you, Ross, and they're going to ask you a simple question. Does the fire still burn?
I love this show. I love doing this show.
You could have said that during the week when you're flirting with everyone.
To me, it highlights the power of the media here. Like, I was run out of the town and I've been trying to run into a job. So the two parties potentially involved, which is an AFL club. So at the moment, it's Collingwood Club. Haven't Nathan stood down and myself, no one's reaching out to the other. So it's all just speculation. You know, I think because of my past, obviously I'm going to be in the conversation, but there's no substance or depth to this conversation.
No. I feel like he's hasn't answered the question there, Howard.
Do you feel like he's coaching hat? He's sort of step. I don't deal in hypotheticals. I've lost my crystal ball.
When your head hits the pillow, Ross, do you think, yes, I want to step back into coaching again? I still have the passion, energy, and commitment for it. Or is that something you're still working out?
It's not something I've considered. I locked the counter. I've been very strong saying I don't think I'll ever coach again. And that's, as I said here today, that's how I feel, that's how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
It is nice. We've all got an ego. It's nice to be mentioned in dispatches. Mm-hmm. And some respect being shown is nice, you know. So, but what I did say, and I'll say it again, if an AFL, which two AFL clubs did ring me, and I wasn't offered a job. So Mark Ricciuto and the CEO come over. I met them. It might have been Brownlow week, prelim week. And we just sat down and I just said where I'm at. But then we had a wider discussion. It was really fascinating for me and see where the club was at. And North Melbourne just rang Brady Rowlands, just going through the process. And that's probably the point. They were really professional that they went through a process and reached out to everyone that they thought and then worked their way through. So there's been no offer. But I shut those down pretty quick. I said, mate, I'm not in the state of mind to even consider it, you know. So, but if Collingwood Football Club rang, I mean, they're a powerhouse, aren't they? But it's a pretty intimidating thought going back in, you know, to coaching, to be honest. When you see, I think Nathan Buckley's carried the can. Like, on performance, grand final, prelim, final last year, I don't know how he's not in a job. I think if they did it over a long-term horizon, he didn't have the passion and the energy to keep going. We all understand that. But on performance, he still should be in a job. If you look at this year and give it context, the injuries, he's played debutants, some things went wrong. I think he could turn that around, but it shows how tough it is. And that club's been in turmoil. So he carried the can for, he didn't do the list management and the salary caps and the contracts, but he was the most affected. He gets, no one can name the board members, but everyone can name the coach of Collingwood Football Club, Nathan Buckley. So you carry, it all falls, you're the face of the club. He's got, you know, beautiful young boys that would cop it at school. That there'd be positives to it, but it's all encompassing, you know, even in this COVID time. Have I tried to be adherent to the rules? Yes. But if you're an AFL coach and made a couple of mistakes, maybe that I made within COVID, people are taking the photos and sending them into the AFL and you're getting terrorised. If you don't, you can see the duress they're under. And the, Chris Scott said the imposition put on AFL players and AFL coaches is enormous. So it's not something that's flippant. Would I talk to someone? Yeah. I haven't really considered it. And I sit here thinking it won't happen, to be honest.
What can I ask one more, Harry? Have you thought about what you would require? Have you thought, so you've had a couple of years out of the game, the game's moved a little bit, the cap's changed considerably, you've had time out to think about stuff. Do you know what would be the ideal?
I haven't put much time to it, you know. So one mistake I made when I left the Dockers, I went over with an Apple Mac with all my stuff on, but as they upgraded it, they asked for the computer back, but I should have stood my ground. It was mine, so I left my computer over there. I haven't got anything and I haven't been working on anything. The first thing you say, if we all sit here, well, what's cost everyone 4 points? Well, you need a good goal kicking coach. You build that into your program really strongly.
Brownie.
I mean, that stands out. You know, it's Brownie and the Duck. You need a really good, if you don't get your media messaging right, look at Collingwood. Yep. There's a few other clubs, maybe Carlton, you know. So there you go, Jay-Z, you will give you a pay lift.
Thanks, mate.
And then Howie.
Strength and conditioning.
S&C. And if you know, the endurance, it's clearly a genetic gift, and your family, your wife and your children. So we see St Kilda running out of legs in the last quarter. Okay. Carlton don't get it in the last. Like, you're really valuable. So we could actually give you an up. It's probably nowhere near the level you're on now. But
we can only deal in hypotheticals at the moment. And there's a review underway at Carlton. And maybe David Teague keeps his job. Maybe they are looking for another coach. So then you've got two clubs in a hypothetical world looking for a coach. In your mind, and you look at Collingwood and Carlton, they both came to you. Who has got the better list?
I know. I think you'll believe me. I haven't analysed them. I haven't analysed them at all. But we've seen a lot of Carlton, haven't we? They've been close in a lot of games, as have Collingwood. You know, and that is what's coming. The next day, guys, number one pick. Like, it can change. Look what Essendon have done in a short period of time. So it changes quickly. But you know what? There's no silver bullet. It's the systemic issues that can be at clubs. If you don't get all the pillars right, you get the talent, you get everything right. It's Nathan Buckley wasn't a silver bullet. I'm not. Teague's not. It's a lot of people need to play roles, pull in the one direction.
Can I answer that, Brownie? I actually looked at it the other day because someone asked me the same question. I think Carlton's spine, their spine is very, very strong. And Collingwood really doesn't have a great spine at the moment. Darcy Moore's their pillar in defence. And then from there, they sort of, I guess, break down a little bit. But whereas you look at Carlton, I mean, you know, Wiedering, Cripps or Walsh in the middle. Charlie Curnow was a big one. If he can get back in and be the centre-half forward, then all of a sudden their spine is strong. Yeah.
And you need great
and young. It would seem like they've got the attacking flair. They just need a good defensive-minded coach. Yeah.
But Sidebottom and Pendlebury have been incredible midfielders who will be going out the door soon. They need to be replaced, like when Thomas come through and Pendlebury and Swan and those guys. So it's currently got Walsh, but they need to add more around there, don't they? Cripps and Walsh just carry too big a load, and Curnow's at the back end, and Murphy's just about done as well.
And Ross, because of the, and this is probably the last one, Howie, but the way that Stephen Silvani ended his reign at Carlton, it was a bit messy, it was a bit ugly. He's a good friend of yours. Is there any bad blood between you and Carlton, or is there any acrimony there whatsoever? No. Because he was your best friend, and he clearly didn't like that way.
Close friend,
didn't like the way that played out. So
issues
with
but
the
there's always two truths. So Kane Liddell and his team have got their truth, and Stephen's got his. So I'm not saying who's right or wrong. I'm connected to Robert Walls, who's really my mentor.
Yeah,
you know, as a young coach and a young player. So 70s premiership player, and then Ken Sheldon, David Park, and then I spent 4 years there, and I got to know Kernahan and Williams, and they're incredible people.
So no dramas between you and the Blues?
No. I love the Blues.
Just to put a cap on this, Ross, one final serious one.
Because you've had a good go, Howie.
Well, no, I think it was pretty good too, to be completely honest with you. Yin and Yang, both sides of the coin. Give me briefly, very briefly, What is the one thing you really miss about being a senior coach? And conversely, what is the one thing you really don't miss at all about being a senior coach?
I really, yeah, that's a good question.
Good question.
That sick feeling game day, like you're alive, you know, and someone spoke about one of the leaders, former leaders of this state, and this other person had a really prominent position. He said, God, I envy you making the hard decisions, being in the cut and thrust. Like when you're out of it, when you're in it, something, oh, this is stressful. But, you know, being alive, you know, God, I envy you. I wish I could be in that seat. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, game day, you know, Lee Matthews talks about that. And Wayne, we all, as great as this is, and we love this team, and you walk out, someone wins, someone loses. But, you know, the thrill of the working with a group of men to, Francis Burke once spoke to me at Richmond, and I was a young assistant coach. I think he's won 5 premierships. Mm. He came in and spoke to that group. That was in 1996, I think it was, when they were struggling in 97. And he said, I would give all my premiership medallions back just to go through the process, work with a group of men and players, and, you know, the fight and the training and the camaraderie with no guarantees. I'd give them all back to be able to go through it again. I think that sums it up. The camaraderie of a football club where a group of men, like committed, when you're in a committed group.
Great answer. So that's what you miss.
Yeah, that's what you miss.
What's the thing you really don't miss?
And I'm seeing it now, like it's the intensity of, and I was very private, you know, but there's the intensity of the media and the cycle, the news cycle, and there's less rigor, more avenues for reporting and inaccuracy, and there is false news. I know for a fact the stories were made up, or if they weren't made up, they certainly didn't ring an ass, but they just ran with them because they, you know, that in the end you get sick of that, you know. But I like the person I am now. Like, I am relaxed. I am, because you can get an adopted profile when you get into certain positions, you know. So I like who I am at the minute.
And that's because we've worked you and shaped you and made you relaxed.
I didn't realise. Well, I did know I was on tenuous ground. I was never comfortable. I was never comfortable. Well, I've worked and trying to get there.
Have you laughed as much in the last 2 years as you've laughed in the 15 years you coached?
No, yeah, it's been, yeah, I've had more laughs here. Yeah, yeah. I caught up with Steve Silvani and Tony Elshall for dinner, and you look, and we have some laughs, yeah, because it's a bit crazy and some at the Saints. But yeah, no, it's great here, you know, the camaraderie and the fun and
all I'm saying,
no
mate.
Pressure and no preparation. It's fantastic.
Round 7 of your first year when they said, we think you should go to Revolt, we said, no, he's shocking, but we can get our man Ross Lyon up, yeah, and now he is a star. Rossi, whatever you decide, we'll be pumped for you, but if you're going to be a coach, you've got to take us with her.
Yes. If you do get their gig, then round 1 Sunday, you know your first interviews.
Well, I always never knock back Triple M. I always did Triple M.
Yeah, always, yeah. When I was on the boundary, he was always my favourite person because he always had a smile on his face, and I say this seriously, he always said, oh, so what's going on in your life? And I thought, that's cool.
Yeah, I was always, it was tough when I saw Jay because, like, Jay knows this story, but I was young, a bit crazy, and he was a Geelong man, and we were hating the Cats, and someone told me he's a Geelong rat, you know. So we're at Sandringham, and I might have been, you know, I was a bit on edge. And it came up, and I said, oh, yeah, I had a real go at him, you know. And he's like this junior cadet. I was like, yeah. And then I'd see him as boundary, right? I felt like, so this is my public apology.
The Listener app is the home of everything Triple M footy.
It is magnificent.
Listen live or on demand.
That's the gold you don't get anywhere else.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M Rocks Footy. If you missed the full discussion with Ross Lyon, you can catch it up at Listener on the Listener app. All the Sunday Rub will be there.
Can I ask these boys a quick question? From what everything you've heard, do you reckon Ross will be coaching AFL Brownie and Duck? Yes or no, he'll be coaching a club next year?
If he wants to, I hope so.
Brownie? I think the game would be lesser for it if he's not coaching.
Yeah. I reckon, Howie, not only is he one of the best 18 coaches in the country, I reckon he'd be in the best 4 to 6, I reckon.
Oh, I wouldn't disagree. I wouldn't disagree. I'd go top 3 just personally. Now time for Leroy. Pump up.
This is Ducks Pump Up.
All right, Ducky boy, who are you pumping up today?
Well, because we've talked about Collingwood and I guess the doom and gloom of Nathan Buckley and leaving his beloved club that he's given so much to as a player and a coach. I just think the way he exited was first class.
Yes.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, I think the way he has handled himself, given all he's been through over the last 4 years, I'll say that there has never been, and by the way, because I haven't lived in Perth and there are only two coaches over there. But I don't think there's been a coach under more pressure, more scrutiny in the last 3 or 4 years than Nathan Buckley over that time. And the way he's handled himself has just been incredible.
Well, even
just
longer because of the handover, the secession plan.
Yeah,
straight away.
So started then, yeah. and then it obviously built just before 18. It was at its highest.
Zenith,
yep. Yeah, and the fact that he got the club into grand final, nearly won it, prelim, kick away from another granny finals last year. Off the back of that pressure, I just think
don't forget
incredible.
That grand final. They were 5-1, 31-0. Yeah. And yeah. I think Jack Crisp had a shot from 50, which would have put them 6 goals up. Nearly. Then West Coast got on. There's 31 points up in a grand final.
Probably
you're almost
over.
Sinking home.
Yeah, yeah. No, so unbelievable. So I hope I just hope now that he takes a little bit of time, and he's obviously got two boys that are at that age, and yeah, good luck. But I just unbelievably impressed by the way.
I tell you, if our man did for whatever reason depart, you blokes are going to have to sit down with Bucks because he'd be very nice on a Sunday. You got to always plan ahead. You always got to plan
big
ahead.
Big shoes,
yep. Yeah, big shoes. But no, I think
it'd
he's
be
got
a,
big feet.
It'd just be a straight swap, wouldn't it?
Easy wear shoes.
Yeah, straight
would
swap.
Would be straight. Straight
he'd
swap.
Probably get them Ross zero
wear
his.
Shoes.
Yeah. Straight. Would we have to pay any money to
you guys?
Well,
that's true.
To top it up,
that's you're true.
In a trawl style
scenario, I think we're still paying for it.
You know who's not doing it next year if Rossi vacates?
Who?
Nick Rewalt.
No, probably not.
That was a bit of a drive-by.
No, that
you.
Wasn't. That was the truth that you boys in the meeting pushed out. Now, time, we've had the positive. Now, unfortunately, Nathan wishes to bring a negative.
Yeah, it's disappointing, isn't it?
Now it's time.
It's been pretty ordinary.
For Deflate Nate.
Well, this we weren't speaking this week, Howard, and I knew when you said to me, I need you to go with me on Ross this week, I'd put my deflate around Ross as well.
Right.
Because I went through social media and someone gave me a little bit of a serve on social media in my role at Sportsbet and the fact that I never get into these same game multis up. And they said, what sort of ambassador you got? He can't even get a bet up. And so I clicked on his account. Who's this peanut? And have a look at him. And he'd actually retweeted something of Ross. And I thought, geez, that's strange because I didn't know Ross was on Twitter.
No.
So I went to Ross Lyon's Twitter, which is the real Ross Lyon, and it actually has the tick.
Mm.
And
right.
This is where the deflate part comes in because he's tweeted 4 times since 2013.
Aww.
So let's just go through it. His first ever tweet in 2013. They must have thought at Fremantle he needed a profile. His first one is, watch this space with Go Frio. That's it. That was his first ever tweet. And then he took another 3 years to tweet anything else. 3 years.
Have this I got is many a, following?
I can take the photo on the same line. I've got the photo here. So 3rd of 3rd, 16, obviously just before the start of the season, was strap yourselves in.
Come on, Ross.
Strap yourselves in.
Strap
to which
yourselves in.
He actually got some response. Paddy Dangerfield himself wrote back, I play for an opposition side, Ross, but I'm strapping in. And then the AFL said, great second tweet. Any chance of a follow back?
Yeah.
Obviously, Ross didn't look at the tweets because then he took until 22nd of December that year, 2016. He's obviously doing a paid gig at this point for Rick's Eyewear. And he's got a Merry Christmas little hat on with those aviators that are so famous. Ho, 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 Merry Rick's. Miss everyone.
No.
So that's it.
I'm a players man. That was Tommy Sheridan's glasses.
But then he goes on another high.
Free promo.
How long for? 22nd of the 12th, 2016. Then it comes up to this year. Okay, I'm out of Fremantle. I've got to actually start my Twitter again to build my profile. 18th of the 3rd, 2020, the start of his media career. He's in the makeup chair at Channel 9, and it said, and quote me if I'm wrong, but it says, watch this face. Footy Classified is coming up tonight, and he's in the makeup chair getting makeup done. So that is the entire history that deflated me, and I was pretty excited when I found it.
Does he follow any of us, Nate? Does he follow any of us?
He hardly. He's following 3 people.
Right, go on then.
I don't know who. I'll find that, but I didn't check that. But he's following three people.
Pavlich.
All right. Wow. You've got to be better than that, Ross. Have you got who he's following, or are we not allowed to go with
so
it?
So the following people, he's following Matthew Pavlich.
Yes.
The AFL.com.au.
Yes.
Company man.
And Lenny Hayes. They're the 3 people he's following.
Which is about right.
Yeah. Come on, Ross.
Well, I've got a media department to manage those things for me. I think I might have to just outsource it to Jay-Z.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
I'm really taking notes on this. It's a masterclass.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Give it your best shot, big boy.
Yes, Howie, it's been a great start to this show, but one of the toughest MRO incidences is before Michael Christian right now. It's one of the more difficult ones of the past few years. You would have seen it last night, the bump from David Mackay from Adelaide on St Kilda's Hunter Clark. Now, Hunter Clark has suffered a broken jaw in this bump and is going to miss quite clearly a bit of footy. Now, most people would have seen it. Mackay comes steaming in, but his execution in this bump isn't too bad because he's got hands outstretched for the ball. He's got his feet on the ground. If anything, he maybe just comes up slightly too high on Hunter Clark as he makes contact from his shoulder to Clark's jaw, and that has suffered a broken jaw. Now, I feel like the AFL, oh, this really could go either way. Gut feel, maybe he gets off because he is making a genuine attempt at the ball and his execution is pretty good. As I said, eyes on the ball, hands outstretched, feet on the ground. You boys have all seen it. What do you think? Should he get, and if he goes, he's going to get matches, two or three, or does he get off? What do you think, Duck?
Only he knows whether his intent was to hurt while he was going for the footy. And that's, and clearly he went at the footy, clearly. You can see that. But he went with some real intent, and whatever was in his way was going to get hurt. That's the intent that he went at the footy. So that's the question, and there's only one person that can answer it, and that's him.
You think guilty? You think matches?
No, I'm probably a bit the same. I'm on the fence. I'm not sure.
I don't think he should be rubbed out because I think he was going for the footy, but it wouldn't surprise me if he got four. But equally, it wouldn't surprise me if they turned around and said, and he got off. So that's probably the problem with our system at the moment. So we're all torn over it, wondering whether a player going for the ball should be rubbed out because the player who he got
suffered an injury.
Yeah, so the reason why I'm confused, and I think it's a good reason, and that is because we just don't know. The fact that we can sit here and say that we don't know tells you how inconsistent this all of these head-high hits are. And the reason why, so for his action, so let's take the action. The action is going for the footy, right? So therefore, he should get off. But we, unfortunately, we give weeks because of the outcome.
Yep.
So because of the outcome, he'll probably get weeks. But for the action, he shouldn't. We saw we see the action all the time, but the guy gets up and takes the kick, no weeks. We deliver the penalty on outcome. Therefore, I think he'll get weeks.
What do you think, Ross?
Yeah, watching it, you'd be wrapped with the attack on the ball and the man as a coach. So from a coaching perspective, gee, I love his commitment and the attack and the ferocity from both players. The test is if you elect to bump. So it's going to be the decision as he went for the ball and the ball got away and then he turned and bumped. Is he really, or was he just turning to protect himself? If they interpret he elected to turn and bump, he has taken him high. And my only, we slowed it down. We had a good look, and it looked perfect, but he stayed up a little bit. Maybe he could have gone a little bit lower, and that would have avoided the head clash. But because they've tightened the rule. If you elect a bump and you hit the head, you're in trouble. So that's going to be, did he elect a bump in the end?
Yep.
And if he did, well, he hit the head, he's in trouble. But everything else looked good to me. Like, would have been play on for the last 90 years.
I didn't see it, Clarky. I still haven't seen it.
Yep.
But listening to what Duck said, as soon as you said, old mate's got a broken jaw.
Yep.
Without even seeing it, you know the bloke's in trouble.
If he does get whacked for it, if he does get matches, it'll be something they'll challenge and then argue that he was just trying to get the footy. So either way, we think this will end up in the tribunal. No, Collingwood's been a huge story. The other big story in Melbourne, of course, is Carlton with a full review into the operations of the Blues. They're saying this is not a witch hunt on David Teague. It's basically a searing analysis of all the components of that football department, how I'm talking recruiting, talking fitness, talking welfare, talking assistant coaches. John Barker's already stepped aside, but it's really going to be a forensic look at the whole football club. Jeff Walsh, a highly respected for his time at Collingwood. Matthew Pavlich, great friend of yours, obviously, Ross. And Graham Lowe, who's obviously at the Bulldogs, is going to take a good look at this football club over the next few months. Now, David Teague has a contract for next year, but he would be feeling incredibly nervous right now that there is going to be some significant change within the Carlton Football Club. But the difficulty in this is, Brownie, if Carlton change all the assistant coaches, the fitness staff, footy manager, all the people around Teague, and then back in Teague. What happens if in 12 months' time they're 1-5 and they work out he's not the man. Don't they have to bring forward that decision regardless to over the next few months?
So the example you, I think you're leaning towards is the Damien Hardwick, where they got rid of pretty much everyone bar the senior coach, back the senior coach in, he delivered a premiership. So you'd have to ask, what is the state of David Teed's contract to answer that correctly?
Well, he's contracted till next year, but I feel like they've got to make that big assessment on him as part of this review quite clearly this year, because they've got to know whether they're going to try and improve the components around him and back him in for the next few years, or whether we work out they've got a problem with the senior coach right now.
Okay, so my thinking, if I was the in charge of who's going to coach them next year, I'd say, okay, there's already a club, and probably the biggest club in the land, out there for a coach. Do we fast track this, and are we in the hunt for the best coach? Maybe it's the guy sitting next to us. Maybe it's something else they're looking at, but they want to get in first for the best possible coach they can. If they've made the decision that he's gone, I think they need to make that decision and make it quick.
Ross, on the field, what have you seen consistently over the first 3 months of this season?
Well, we've all seen the same thing. So you set expectation. There was a year where I said, oh, we want to kick two more goals a week on average. And then that stays with me that whole, well, the rest of my time at Fremantle. So they come out and said, we want to be an attacking juggernaut. We want to attack. We want to entertain, engage, and win. The bottom line is they haven't attacked well enough. So when they play Essendon number two attack. And their defence is actually leaking the same amount of points against us, Carlton. But they're just attacking better. So if you're just going to attack, you want to attack well. So I think they're eighth or ninth in attack. So they haven't been able to deliver on the promise. Mm. And they set the expectation that we're ready to go. Bolton went out. We turned it around. We're ready to pop. They've sold everything through the roof commercially to sponsors, the Carlton Business Group, you know, the whole lot, and set expectations. And Kane Liddell's done an enormous job off the field commercially, but it's been on the back of, we're going to play finals. So that's clearly not going to be delivered on at 4-8. So we all see the same thing. They get last week, if I just go to last week's game, but it's been mirror image. They actually did start. They've been a slow starting team, and then they come from behind. So I don't like that. Take the emotional risk. Be brave enough to give it everything when it's on the line. You know, the honourable come back second halves, I don't like them at all. And teams and clubs that win in the second half of the year, I don't like that at all. Win when the pressure's on and when you're expected to win. Don't come home with a wet sail, don't like that. So last week, that's what they've been known for a bit, slow starting, then come home honourably. We don't like that. Mm. They get scored against really easily. And the other thing as an attacking, which really caught me by surprise, they score from stoppage quite well, but their transition, scoring off turnover, they're 17th in the AFL.
And that's how teams score. Yeah.
Get your head around that. If you don't value defence, that's okay. But you want to get the other end right. So that's not happening. That's just objectively. But last week, I thought they dominated ground ball. They, you know, kicked four goals, six would be inaccurate, whatever it was in the first quarter. But West Coast were on their knees, got the ball in their back pocket, and three times took it the length of the field, through the corridor, and kicked the easy goals. And I just sat there and went, whoa, you're dominating this game, but everyone just scores easily against you. Like, it was a picnic for Liam Ryan. Newman was on him, you know, and he was cruising around, not a glove on him, not a bruise. And Mick McGowan did an article that 45 seconds at the final. They do that rotation like Geelong did, but they did it in another game where, you know, they do that rotation. It's the half forward goes to half back and the winger, you know, the halfback on the wing or whatever, and they sort of rotate around, but it just frees up players. Like when they played Sydney, it was like Heaney was free the first few occasions at half four because of that rotation. Mm. And I'm going a little bit. So the other thing is Cripps and Walsh, not much support in the midfield once you take Curnow out. So they need to get deeper through there. And their leadership, to be honest, just to finish, their leadership on the ground, when they really need someone to stand up and say, come with me, bar Cripps or Walsh, it just doesn't happen. And I don't know Doherty, but I can just coach action. That's all I coach action. So what I saw when he tried to kick the ball out of the air in the really important game, and then there was another one where he flinched the ground level, he's your captain. I was like, well, it starts at the top. And then the other thing I did think, there was a lot of noise made about John Worsfold mentoring, right? Mm. So I saw John, and that's fair enough, to be at the Essendon game. No problem with that. But I thought, how important it was, the pressure Teague was under. They had two games in Sydney. I thought it would have been the ideal time to come across and spend some time with Teague, settle it down and help right the ship a little bit. So I think that's a missed opportunity at that end. When you flagged it so strongly that here's what we're going to do and help the coach, and you can do it over the phone, but there's nothing like having the presence of John there, you know, his leadership and his stability and support around it you know, when your season's on the line. I think that was a missed opportunity for him as well.
Wow, Jay, there's your first article, Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. This is a man that 2 years ago didn't know how to put his headset on, and now he's just rolling out.
But I know I waffle a bit. I look at you, Howie, and I'm trying to get more concise and to the point.
But that was good waffle, Rossi. That was was absolutely spot on.
Triple M rocks footy.
That was class.
We are leading up to Luke McDonald in 10 minutes' time. Close to the Kangaroos, they are playing the Giants in Tassie. That's the game we're covering shortly, but it is now time for...
You only lose when you sell.
Stock exchange.
Has it been a tough 3 or 4 days on the cryptos? Just quite.
Way to live your life. You only lose when you sell. Okay, let's get straight into it. And I'm going to ask you a question. If this is Australia's best international sporting moment.
Aloisi. Cahill. Cahill! Tim Cahill has done it again! What a goal by Tim Cahill! 2-1 Australia! Oh, it's a wonderful moment in Kaiserslautern!
Not only was the commentary amazing, but it is 15 years to the day yesterday, so that's why it came up.
Well, it's
that's
not
why,
to the day today, then, is it?
I said day yesterday. Doug, the best Australian international sporting moment by Hold or Sell.
No, I don't think it is, so I'm selling.
He's selling.
Sell.
Buy. That still gives me goosebumps, Browning.
Big sell for me.
Ooh. What do you got?
Sorry,
what's better?
Kieran,
well, I think it's the best soccer moment. I think
Kathy Freeman's win.
Yeah, I thought Aloisi to put us what into about, the World Cup was a better moment.
What about Kieran Perkins when he got lane 8?
Yes.
Just
Atlanta.
Okay, what about if I rehash the question to best international team sporting moment?
Oh, yeah, it's up there.
You're getting closer. Yeah. You're getting closer now. Yeah.
All right.
Pretty poor start, to be honest.
The banners have been in and out this year. Are we buying, holding or selling the banners when players run out?
I'm holding. I think it's a good part of the game.
Buy. Yeah. I like the tradition.
Yeah, buy.
Buy. Love the tradition. Yeah,
especially when some of the messages get stuffed up or there's a little spelling error or something. That's
big buy.
Always
what
fun.
Are you on the banners?
Oh, I like the buy. Yeah. I reckon they're great. As an aspiring journalist, I have to ask this question, Ross. Ross Lyon to Collingwood.
I'm buying.
Ooh.
I'm buying. I want if he wants to do it, I'd love him to be Collingwood coach.
You holding?
Who, me? I've shut down.
He's Jake, passing.
I'm buying.
Sell.
I'm buying Brownie. He'd be number one on their list, I reckon.
I think if Duck said it's right, if it's going to make my man happy, then I'm a massive buy.
All right.
Maybe I could combine. I could sort
same
of swing by.
Hang on now. Hey? That's an interesting point. He's going to coach Collingwood. Yeah. Not on Sundays, because he's going to do the Sunday rub. I wouldn't put that in your pitch, Ross. I'm not going with that in the pitch.
Same question. Carlton.
Once again, if he wants to do it, bye.
Ross?
Oh please.
Yeah, I'll have some of that too.
Expect more from Brown. I love this segment.
I'm selling. If he's going to coach, I want him to see him coaching the biggest club in the land.
All right, there's been a bit of a push for Mark Williams, who hasn't coached since 2010, putting his hat in the ring and getting the job. Start from your end, Howie.
Couldn't be a bigger buy. Love everything about him and everything he represents and the way he treats people.
A great buy. He was out of the game for too long.
Buy, premiership coach.
Why not? Bye.
Been a fair bit of talk around Brownlow medalist Tom Mitchell and that Hawthorn should trade him. Howard.
Sell. 34 possessions, played more time forward on the weekend, kicked a goal. They need to keep some of their elite players and he's one of the few.
I think if they're going to get a top 10 pick, I'd do the trade, I'd buy the trade.
Gee. I wouldn't do the trade because he had that significant injury and... He's got penetration, he's kicked back, a little bit more pipe. He was aggressive in the tackle. I reckon he's taken feedback to change his game. I think he's back on track. Sell.
Yeah, I'm selling. I wouldn't trade him.
Okay, Ralph Carr has got the biggest name in the game in Dustin Martin, and he's strategic with where he puts Dustin Martin. Bonds, Voost, and Kennedy Watches all make a lot of money. Compare that, though.
KO.
With the scattergun approach of Mark Howard down there, who does Red Rooster, Blue Bet, Manscaped, QuickBooks. I mean, this is, let's listen to Howie trying to sell chicken rolls.
Howie here. If you're into sport, you'll love the new series of my podcast, The Lamb Roll Games. Experience raw lamb with a bevy of sporting superstars. Enjoying the new Red Rooster Lamb Roll. Yep, Ray Warren does lamb. There's nothing more Aussie than a lamb roll. Not even John Aloisi's 2005 lamb roll. No matter what you're into, there's a lamb roll for everyone.
So we buy, hold, we're selling. Howie, as a spokesperson for your business.
I'm just not sure I'd want a lamb roll. Howie, I'm buying Howie.
I'm buying you, Howie.
Strong buy. We love Howie.
What a front man.
I'm about buying too, Howie. You don't need to answer that one. Yours is a big buy. I know that. Okay, I'm not sure what Toby Green's contract situation is, but paying Toby Green $1 million a year to get him to your football club if you think you're in the line for a premiership.
Buy. Superstar.
Buy.
Hold.
Buy. Did some research. I like to do some research around international events. A guy called Yuri Tolokko from Ukraine.
Sorry, the name again?
Tolokko, name was Yuri Tolokko. He was from Ukraine and he married.
I don't know where this is going.
He married an imaginary person. But the thing was, Yuri actually had a wedding and he had his four groomsmen there this imaginary event. Now, a lot of things can happen in this day and age, but surely I just want to get your feedback on the groomsmen, whether you're buying, holding, or selling these groomsmen for allowing him to go through with what he's going through.
I'll start. I'm selling because I think occasionally when your mates go that far off track, you've got to line them up and say, you need to get back on track. He was marrying a doll, wasn't he?
Yes.
Well, if you're going to marry a doll, eventually your mates need to say, now, Clarkie, pull your head in. You can't go through this. So I'm selling the mates.
Yeah. Sell.
Sell,
mates. Okay. Pizza is the best takeaway or delivered food.
Good one.
Buy.
Yeah, probably buy.
So you've got Thai, you've got Chinese, all sorts of cuisine, but pizza as the best one, number one go-to.
Buy for me. Buy. Big buy for me.
Easy.
Right. Okay, the three-round buy. So at the moment, we're only playing five games a week.
Sell.
No, a buy. I don't mind it. It means we don't have a footy-free weekend.
Hold. Unsure.
Yeah, I'm a hold.
Yesterday was a tough day. Okay, the last one. And I heard an English broadcaster go with the Jimmy Anderson and Stuart Broad are the best opening bowling partnership in the history of the game, taking note that there's been Garner Holding, McGrath Gillespie, Lily Thompson, and all of them that Howie goes through every week. Anderson Broad, the best opening partnership in the game ever.
Ever. No, I'm selling that.
Sell.
Be McGrath and someone, wouldn't it?
In England, I'm buying. In England.
Okay. One more's come to light. I forgot that one that Rabsy just said. You started as a boundary rider, just a young boundary rider.
A long way before that, but yes.
Richard Champion made his way to Cairns the other night, and he did the boundary, and he's normally a caller, Champs, but
he's gone the other way.
This is how he went on the boundary.
I'm interested in this lunch you did. not so much the game at this stage. We'll move on to that in a minute. But the dignitaries, who would they have been at Kazali Stadium up there in Cairns, do you think?
Just a few local politicians, BT. You know, the normal people you like to rub shoulders with.
By the way, you got the medical subs for us.
I actually haven't got the medical subs at the moment, but
so
I have
now
got
let me just get this right. So you've gone up there just to do the lunch, and this is a secondary thing, so much so that you haven't even got the subs ready.
Poor old Champs went up for a cash in, didn't even know anything about the game.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
People all around us getting excited.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
This is the Triple M Sunday Rub for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks football. The Giants taking on the Kangaroos, unfortunately without the reigning Sid Barker medalist, the BNF winner last year, who is sidelined with a chest issue. His name is Luke McDonald. We always like seeing this man play. Hopefully it happens again very, very soon. Luke, Mark Howard here. Good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm going all right. Obviously, pretty frustrating not being out there. I think I've actually played 10 minutes this whole season, so... Certainly not what I planned going into the year, but I'm going all right. I'll be back in the next couple of weeks. So, finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, I suppose.
Great to hear. I presume with the COVID situation, are you in Melbourne? You wouldn't even be allowed to go to Tassie, would you?
Yeah, no, well, no one's... It's only the players and the essential staff allowed to go down there. So, I'm just watching it on TV like the rest of us. So... Yeah, it has been a little bit interesting with the whole COVID situation. We've been lucky, I suppose, to keep training and keep playing. So, and we haven't had to go interstate. So, I suppose you could say we've been lucky.
So how does your training program work at the moment, Luke, with everybody away? What do you do? Is there someone there taking you on a daily basis?
Yeah, well, we've got a rehab coach, Matty Ferraro, who sort of runs the show. So there's a fair few boys in rehab at the moment. So, yeah, we do a lot of our training just together. But we're all part of like the AFL bubble, I suppose, at the moment. So, yeah, we can do all training in that with all the boys. But now that obviously the Vic guidelines have changed, we can start living by them. But the guys who are going down to Tassie, they still have to live as if they were in lockdown until they're back as part of the agreement for going down there. And they had to get an extra test yesterday. So, look, it's just awesome that we're able to play down there because we do have a pretty good record down there. And yeah, I know I suppose it's a bit of a home away from home for us.
So, Luke, outside of this week's game, tell us about, like, there's been a huge wind of change at the Kangaroos. Tell us about what Noble's brought to the table culturally, game plan. What's shifted?
Well, look, the thing with Nobes is he's so calm. He's just got a really, really consistent message that he's driven since day one. You know, the game plan, it doesn't change from week to week. And the other thing with Nobes, I honestly find a positive in absolutely anything. He's been really, really good, but also, you know, when we need the clip, he's happy to give us the clip as well. But, yeah, he's just brought a really patient structure. You know, he's very process-driven. And, yeah, I suppose, obviously, you know, we're 1-10. We're not where we want to be. But I think you would have thought from where we started the year to now, we're certainly building. So, yeah, he's just brought a real calmness to the joint, I'd say.
Hey, look, you are a Sid Barker medalist, and I've got a four-time Sid Barker medalist standing right next to me, and you've got a pec injury at the moment, and Ducks decided that he's going to move his pecs one by one sitting next to me. Is this the sort of thing that happens when you do a pec injury?
Yeah, well, look, I probably don't have pecs the size of Duck. He's known for his big pecs back in the day, I think. But, look, it's a bit of a bizarre one, to be honest. I ended up tearing my pec and my bicep. So, it's been a bit of a different rehab, but, I suppose I'm back in the next couple of weeks. So, it wasn't ideal, but, I did it going for a tackle. So I might just skirt on the outskirts a bit more when I'm back.
Hey, Luke, you get a couple of quality players back in today. Stevenson and Tarrant come back into that team. He's a big in.
Oh, yeah, well, Robbie Tarrant, both of them are big ins, but it's just so good seeing Taz back. Obviously, had a scare in the preseason with his kidney, but he's, I suppose, the heart and soul of the joint. And, I personally can't wait to play there with him. He's one of my favourite teammates I've ever played with. He's going to be just that rock down in the back line that we need, especially with such a young side. So good seeing him back. And then Steve-O as well. I mean, he's come in really good. He's had an unbelievable attitude since he got to the club. And, he's actually had a really, really consistent year prior to, obviously breaking his wrist. So, yeah, it's good having both those boys back, that's for sure.
And, Luke, can you believe that your dad's name's Donald?
Yeah, look, that's a bit of a cheap shot, Duck. Go on, mate. Look, the funny thing is there's 10 Donald McDonalds in like our family bloodline, and I was the one who ruined it. So my grandpa wanted me to be Donald, and mum was like, no, he's going to get bullied. So, like you've just done there, Duck. There's a bit of tension within the family for a bit, but I'm happy I'm Luke, but my middle name is Donald though. So
he's a good man, your old man.
And right, you've gone into business with your father. Tell us a little bit about that, Luke, as we let you go. Give your operation a plug.
So we've got a business called McDonald Management Events, and we've got a suite at the MCG. So obviously it's been tough with no crowds the last couple of weeks, and moving Origin wasn't ideal, but we pretty much just host events in our suite. So any single event, game day at the G, we have it catered or non-catered. And, we're just starting there. And then hopefully we'll go into running bigger events and maybe managing players at in the future. But, it's just good, I suppose, having something on the side with footy. I mean, you can get pretty consumed in footy, so it's good. Just having that on the side. I'm loving doing it with Dad. We're on the phone every day. And Mum's sending all the invoices, so it's a good little family business that we've got growing.
I've actually been waiting for your call. Dad rang me and said you're going to give me a buzz because I can help you out there, young fella.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll have to get a coffee.
Yep, easy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, he's dropped a young fella on him. I'm not sure about that. Hey, Luke, we appreciate your time. Hopefully you're playing for the Roo Boys really, really soon, mate. Best of luck to you and your footy club against the Giants today.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me on.
Nice to speak to Luke. I reckon he's 5 years. Lovely fella. That could be Duck's best question he's asked.
Trying to get him a paid gig?
What? I don't know. What? I like the question about Donald. I thought that was a good question.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. What was the bit on the side you were trying to organise? Was that signing?
Is that a freebie? Helping him out? That's the way I took it. You were going to just help him out for no fee.
Donald called me.
But for no fee, that's the way I heard it.
No fee.
Sheets?
No fee. Just to help him out. I know that they've just started.
How are you going to help?
Well, there's a few corporates that I know that are always looking for boxes at the MCG. That's our house. Okay. It's not a puzzle.
You're a good man. You're a good man.
Hey, quick question.
Yeah, go on, what's your question? It'll need to be quick.
Who do you think will be captain of North Melbourne next year? Jack Zeeble or Luke McDonald? Pick one.
Oh, that's a good question. I think Luke McDonald's probably younger, if I had to pick one.
Luke McDonald, captain next year. Duck, what do you reckon?
Not close enough to it, Howie. Sorry, Jay-Z, to
pump up for the
no,
boy.
I'm not close enough to it. I don't know how they are around the club. I assume Luke's a really good trainer and everything else, but
could be a challenge.
Yeah, it's a great point. From the outside, I'd say Tarrant. I've worked close with him. If he was to go on, in the Australian rules, he's an incredible player. Yeah.
The biggest names, the biggest games.
How can I get Mark down with my eyes closed?
Triple M rocks footy. Pot, Palmer, and proving you're smarter than your mates. It's the Sunday Rubs Pub Quiz.
That's it. You got Duck on 0, Ross on 1, Jay on 3, Brownie on 7. Let's get straight into it. Have you been paying attention?
Hang on. I was 7 before the break and you've docked me one.
No, you're 7. Spoke. We had a slight issue. Jay won last week as opposed to you.
We're a panda, remember?
Yep. Got it right at the end. Nearest the pin. What was Buckley's winning percentage as Collingwood coach? Duck.
It was 53%.
JJ,
54.
Ross.
Yep.
59.
Yep.
Brown.
Yep.
55.
It's 53.5, which is between Duck and Jay, but I know you looked at the answer, and I don't want you to
I did not look at the answer.
You looked down
I
at
swear
the
to God, I looked at that.
And plus, old no, first.
I saw you look at the answer.
Plus Howie.
I did it this week.
This was last week when you got David Wurrupunder out of nowhere.
I buzzed in first, too.
I've honestly never cheated.
Yeah, but I buzzed in first.
I think you said put that question on
the and you saw me do that.
Howie. I buzzed in first.
I know.
I've not looked at the answers.
Again.
If you ever cheat again, you'll never work on this show again.
I did not look at the answers. I looked at that.
Start again.
Oh, I got it.
One it's for Duck.
Here.
Thank you.
One
mate.
For Duck. Do you not accuse me now. Of cheating ever again.
Oh, you've unsettled him. This could be a fried rice cheat. Moment.
He just cheated.
Don't throw the water.
Sticking with Bucks. He won the 2003 Brownlow Medal with which two other players?
Nathan Buckley. Adam Goods and Mark Rashuda.
Yes.
Did I cheat that time too?
No, you didn't, but you did the first time. Just ease up. Ease up, guru.
My let it go. Look, I've been through. I know how you feel, mate. False accusations.
Remaining with Collingwood, their coach in waiting.
Made real better player that year.
Thank you, Duck. Remaining with Collingwood. Rembrandt. Yes.
97, 98.
No. Remaining. Yes, Duck.
2002, 2003.
Can I ask the question, please?
Yeah, start again.
Remaining with Collingwood, their coach in waiting, Ross Lyon, faced off against Nathan Buckley 9 times. Who won the more games? Duck. You know, you already know. You're out. Don't answer.
What's the question? Who won the...
Who won the most games coaching between JJ. Nathan Buckley and Ross Lyon?
Yep. I would say it'd be Ross Lyon.
Whoa.
Brownie, Ross, what, you're the only one that hasn't gone.
Impossible.
Brown.
Who won, Ross?
Between Nathan and me?
Yes.
What coaching head to
head? Right.
Me?
No, that's what Jay said. He just got it wrong.
No, I know, but I'm disputing.
Buckley 5, Ross Lyon 4.
You got that wrong.
No, but I knew. What I wasn't going to say Nathan. I refuse.
Hawthorn's mid-season recruit Joe. Yep.
14 tackles.
No.
I was going to say 14 tackles.
Hawthorn's mid-season recruit Jai Newcomb made his debut on Friday night versus Sydney. What pick did the Hawks choose? Yes.
2.
Yes.
And he's from Poowong.
He is from Poowong, lovely little Gippsland town. Big Freeze 7 takes place tomorrow at the MCG. Name 4 of the sliders. Yep.
Razor Ray Chamberlain.
Yes.
Daisy Pierce.
Yes.
Abby Holmes.
Yes.
And also Billy Brownless.
Yes. Alongside Gil McLaughlin, Jeff Farmer, Shane Crawford, Sarah Jones, Shani Nordic, Craig Bellamy and Russell Howcroft. Well done, Brownie. Goes to a 2-1 lead. Cryptic name game. A current Carlton Blue whose surname is also an infamous LA gang. Yes.
Paddy Cripps.
Yes. Bloods and the Crips. A current Brisbane Lion whose surname can be defined as having a great deal of money.
Jay.
Jay.
Daniel Rich.
Yes. yes, yes, yes. Brownie 3, Jade 2, Duck 1, Ross yet to get going. Guess the year. The league bans laced front jumpers. Duck, duck. Yes.
It would be 1979.
No, after finger injuries to Robbie Wilson, Robbie Flower and Brian Ross Wilson. Ross. Yes.
1984.
No, the league purchased the ownership rights to the Swans.
Ooh, yes. 85.
For $10 after their parent company failed to cover operating costs, Nathan Gerard Healy won the Brownlow Medal.
Brown.
Yep.
1988.
That is correct. Brownie goes to 4. Audio round. Everyone loves a big torpedo guy in the AFL. I'll play you a little bit of audio now. All I need you is to name the player that got onto the massive barrel. There's 5 bits of audio, Ross. You've gone a little bit early.
I'm going first one. Jeff Herring.
No. Here's the audio.
Fair enough.
He's going to have to bomb it. Well, they're short in case he miskicks the Tigers. He gets onto an absolute bomb.
JJ? Yes. Joel Bowden.
No.
What are you calling it?
Any other takers?
Duck Duck.
Yep.
Leon Cameron.
Nope.
Brown.
Yep.
Chris Newman.
No. Play the audio.
He's going to have to bomb it. Well, they're short in case he miskicks the Tigers. He gets onto an absolute bomb buster. It comes back! It's a goal! Lifts for Collingwood!
Rocker.
It's a goal! Anthony Rocker lifts for Collingwood!
Piece 2.
Matty Lloyd, will he load up with the left?
Yes.
Matty Lucas. Scotty Lucas.
Matty Lucas.
Continue with the audio, please, Leroy.
Matty Lloyd, will he load up with the left?
He's gone.
He's gone the top. He's got plenty of carry. It's going. It's going.
Oh, Russell.
Yes.
Fletcher.
Yes. Dustin Fletcher.
He's gone the Dustin.
He's gone the top. He's got plenty of carry. It's going. It's going.
Tough on this one. Audio part C.
And a good fight back by Melbourne. They're going to have a shot at goal here. Right on three-quarter time.
Going the top too.
Russell.
Yes.
Brown.
Yes, Brown.
Jaden Hunt.
Yes. Good guess.
No. Jaden Hunt.
Oh,
he's
kidding.
Gone the big top. He's gone the big top. That might ignite the demons.
Round it goes to 5. Audio part 4.
I reckon the distance will really test him. He's going the barrel. He's going the top here.
Geelong player, midfielder.
Mitch Duncan?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No, Duck's out. Any other takers?
No. We'll hear the audio.
Continue with the audio.
I reckon the distance will really test him. He's going the barrel. He's going the top.
Brown.
Paul Seisman.
No.
JJ.
Yes. No. Final piece of audio. What was it, Leroy? Who was that?
Thomas has uploaded the biggest barrel of his career.
The Daisy Thomas. And finally.
Brown. Not over yet. What drama here?
Malcolm Blight.
Yes. Play it, Leroy.
Malcolm Blight, it's a big kick. It's a mammoth kick.
Everyone talks about how long, and it was a big talk, but at Princess Park back then, remember the breeze? Well, I've kicked a drop punt that far at that ground.
You're an idiot.
He was probably only 55 out or 60 out.
One of the great iconic moments, you know, felt 46 feet slaughtered.
I have kicked a drop punt that far. Brownies on 6.
Inside the square
Jay's
by
Jay's 2. Ross 1. Minutes. Duck 1. General knowledge, which two former North Melbourne players hold the record for most goals in a game at today's venue?
Oh, down there.
Yes.
It'd be Ben Brown.
No.
No, sorry.
6 goals, you're out.
Yep.
Which? Oh, Lindsay Thomas.
No. JJ. 6 goals at Blundstone for a Kangaroo player.
Brown. Corey Jones?
No.
Ross.
Yep.
Rocker?
No. Brent Harvey and Jared Waite. No. 5 current or former GWS Giants have recorded over 100 career goals for the club. Name all 5.
All 5?
Yes.
So current or, did you say current? Please?
Current or former.
Jeremy Cameron?
1.
Toby Green?
2.
I will say Jeremy Finlayson.
No. So we got Cameron, we got Green. Anyone else? This is a hard question.
Duck.
Yes.
Phil Davis.
No. Patton? Jonathan Patton. We need 2 more.
We need 2 more.
One's currently playing, one now plays at Essendon.
Oh.
Is Shields?
No. It's up to you now, Clarky. You need two to go.
Peter Wright?
No. It's Harry Himmelberg and Devin Smith.
Peter Wright played for the Suns.
Yes. That's a very good point you make. Sponsor watch. Oh. I'll name a former Guernsey sponsor for club. I want the club's name, please. Might have 10. Yes.
Might have 10.
Oh, God. That's crazy.
No.
Duck, yes. Might have 10 was.
Yes.
Richmond.
Who?
Richmond?
No.
JJ Hawthorn.
No. Sponsorship went well for Mitre 10 this one.
Yeah.
Rossi?
North Melbourne.
No, it was the Brisbane Bears. Well done to Mitre 10. They got a good payback on that one.
No,
second one.
No one was watching the Bears.
A three mobile.
Brown.
Essendon. Essendon. Brown. He goes to 7. He's going to be hard to beat. And finally. Yes, Doc.
Sandy Roberts.
No. What's he talking about?
Under 0.05.
Brown.
Yes.
Richmond.
No.
Ross.
Yes. Collingwood. No.
You sure it's not Richmond?
Yes.
Oh, they did have it.
Yeah.
Foot's great. 88 to 89. They had the TAC Richmond. Okay, so Brownie leads it 7-2. Jay, you need to get this from the first question to take us to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I was born October 5th. Yep.
Sandy Roberts.
No.
What is going on?
Sandy Roberts.
I know.
I was born October 5, 1976 and played
Shane Crawford.
No. 264 AFL games.
Pinch the questions off the channel, aren't you?
I kicked 60 goals across my two club career, playing predominantly as an inside midfielder. I was a member of the Giants' inaugural AFL squad in 2012, playing a total of 13 games for the club. Yep.
Jacob Townsend.
No. I'm a two-time best and fairest winner with Melbourne and captained them for 3 seasons. For 1 point, I am James
McDonald.
Brown. Yes. Brown.
Brown. Brown.
James McDonald.
It is. Brownie wins 8-2-1-1. Outstanding, Brownie.
Now you can stream every AFL match live with Triple M Footy.
That's as good as you get.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M. The Sunday Rub is drilling deep.
Cult segment as we lead up to North Melbourne taking on the Giants. This is Jay and Ross where they really start to get in-depth about the world of football. What do you got today, Big Daddy?
Well, we did last week on that Michael Walters, which was outstanding. You know when Duck's really paying attention that we're on fire because he really engaged. Sometimes he just sorts of drift a little bit, but he was really he really tuned into what he was saying about Michael Walters. Went round the country. They got Walters on Triple M in Perth and he got to speak to it. So
Nice.
Listeners all enjoyed your deep dive on him, but I think the team who might be flying under the radar, if possible, is Geelong at the moment, and in particular about that forward line. They got Jeremy Cameron. Remember how he at trade time the Cats give 3 early picks for him, get 2 second rounders back, but they gave up 3 early picks. And the discussion around it was, has the Cats sold the farm? They're old as it is. They're getting even older. Is this all going to imply on them? Well, as it sits right now, it is the most informed forward line in the competition with Cameron Hawkins and Gary Rowan in career best form. They sit 4 points off the Bulldogs in third spot, and Chris Scott is just driving that sports car very nicely. How would you try and stop? What do you think of the Geelong forward line?
I'll try and trip Chris coming out of the coach's box. That's what I'm trying to do.
He didn't like that. Was
no,
I mean,
that happened to me once at, turn it back to me, but at Eddie had two young teenage Essendon female supporters put them out, and then they bolted and the security guard went after them.
What did you say?
Oh, I might have had a couple of choice words. They are flying, though, with the Cats. They were powerful.
Yep.
Because Port come back in them, and they just – because I was looking at it, I think it was 4-5 to 9-1 or 8-2 it was. And I thought, oh, no, the way to play seemed to be Geelong were in it. And then they just put the foot to the floor and blew them apart. And you're right, Cameron has just been a perfect addition.
Yep.
What people don't – he is so quick and runs so long. Like, if you make a half a mistake goal side up the ground on him, he's out and beating you back, which we're seeing. He just – he brings great speed. And, you know, the three prong together, they're all different. They complement each other in the smalls. I think they're as good as anyone at the minute. And they played Melbourne. We did that game. And they come back against Melbourne. But they had a number of players out and they're a bit scratchy. But I think even then they challenged Melbourne. Melbourne have grown again. But I think they're as good as anyone going around at the minute.
So he had the double hamstring injury. And the jury was all sort of wondering whether it was going to, you know, whether it was going to work or how durable his body could be again. He's getting
the
big money.
The death adders jumped on, didn't they?
They did. And the microscope sort of come out. So how do you see it? What do you see in how it functions mechanically on the field. So do you? Can you explain to it why that Geelong forward line is working so well?
Well, they, you know, because Gary Rowan, you know, if he's getting a lesser defender now, and then they were smart with what they did, that Radicalia pushed forward and absorbed Jonas, so to take out Jonas's roll off, yep. And they, because they're so experienced, they separate and there's no ego there. I think Chris spoke about that. They each want to just give the goals away to each other, and they're just about winning. They're both at the stage of their career. They're not looking to mark their territory. They're not clashing and launching together. They just want a flag. So, and it's brought the best out of Rowan, you know. So when one's a little bit down, the other one bobs up and gets you. But their experience, and then it's the run of Isaac Smith, you know. So Blixav's, you know, who they like on the wing, you know, but he needed to go back or into the ruck. I think ultimately it'd be games he has to go back because it's only Henderson down there and yep. Stewart, isn't it? So, yep. Look, they're powerful, you know, and Dangerfield's still working in the form. They had a couple out and, you know, Narkle got pushed out. I love the move. The young fellas, the small four, went to halfback. You'd know better than me.
Atkins,
he's tough. You know, they're a tough team. They're great decision makers. Higgins, you just see them in tight situations, think their way through and make things happen. I just think they've got a beautiful blend and balance, but we know it's a long way out. And they'll manage their squad. So, yeah, it's electric, that forward line, isn't it?
Been huge for Gary Rowan, hasn't it? Been huge for Gary Rowan.
He's been the biggest winner, hasn't he?
Because normally you get the second best defender, right? Yeah, and not many clubs have got three tall defenders who can go with you in the air and on the ground. And all of a sudden he's maybe getting a player who's used to, I guess, zoning off and being the intercept player. All of a sudden with his pace and his ability to leap at the football, he is the biggest beneficiary of it.
Yeah, right. Dismisses the rhubarb that you need 6 months or 12 months to gel together. That's the biggest rhubarb myth in footy.
We haven't even trained. He goes, I haven't trained.
I mean, that is a dead set myth. That,
but when you've got weapons,
it's when things aren't working, coaches sometimes and players use the old, oh, we just need a little bit longer to gel.
It took me 2 years to put in my game style.
Can I just say,
like, to Brownie's point,
yep,
those, like, I think when Lever plays next time and they're all there, right? So instead of him playing on the small, all of a sudden, if he leaves Rowan, Rowan's good enough and enough weapons and capabilities to hurt you. Whereas those roll-off defenders look at that bloke and they go, oh, you can't even hurt me, so I just won't give you any respect. But they've got too many that I have to respect now.
That's why West Coast and Geelong have, the best forward line in the comp at the moment. West Coast.
Yeah, when Rioli would come back. Yeah, Liam Ryan, Kennedy, Liam Ryan, Darling, and Oscar Allen.
What about Chris Scott, Ross? Because he is a person, and I think in the media over the past couple of years, as has been discussed a lot, in particular the finals record. I mean, I think the discussion in the media has been...
One. Because unless you win the premiership, you're going to lose some finals. Like,
how good a coach is he? How highly do you rate and respect him?
What he's done at Geelong, when he took over from...
Bomber.
Who's a legend coach. And that team, whether they like to hear it or not, they were on the wane, some of those. And their game style, that kamikaze handball, had its run because the press was in, and the press was pulling it apart. So Chris Scott, people think he inherited the premiership. No, he changed their game style. They went from a handball, one-to-one, kamikaze team to a kick team to keep the pressure off and pull Collingwood apart. That was a masterclass coaching, what they did. And then the ability to transition and stay in competition with that list has been incredible. And, you know, last year they were one kick away from being 46 points up. Mm-hmm. So I think he's done an incredible job, you know. And they fixed one of their weaknesses. They hadn't been able to win off the bye. So first time, I think, in 8 attempts, they've won off the bye. So I put him to – it's him, obviously Hardwick and Clarkson are separated – and Simpson, he's in that class. He's separated from them. And
Longmire as well.
Yeah, those guys, but have done it over 10 or 12 years, whatever it is. And if you think, he's only a young man. I think he went in his 30s, you know. So he will coach somewhere else, I think. It would be good for him.
Chris?
Not next year, necessarily, but I think it would be great for him to finish with a flag. Win a flag this year. Yeah. No, this year.
Yeah.
And whenever it ends at Geelong, and then just regenerate and then have I think his best coaching's in front of him. That's what I think. And he's a great coach now.
Why do you think he doesn't get the respect? Do you reckon he gets the respect he deserves?
Well, dingbats make the judgment.
Dingbats make the judgment. Do you reckon he does, Doug?
Without being too flippant.
Because he certainly does from us.
I reckon we talk about Hardwick, Clarkson, Longmire, etc. I don't know that Chris Scott is often talked about in the
same. Well, he's got a flag, hasn't he, Grand Final? John's like, what's John got, one flag?
Horse has got one. The one. Yes, one? Just the one. Three Grand Finals.
Yeah, which is a great effort.
Three Grand Finals,
and Scotty's got a flag, and how many Grand Finals and prelims? Yeah.
Heaps.
Well, Dimmer's three, so, I mean, as I know, like, I couldn't get one. So, and Clarko's right up there, so, yeah. Who doesn't rate him? That's on Twitter you could get on, people bag him, and who doesn't rate him?
I live down in that part of the world, and there is, and I never understand it, there a section of Geelong supporters are negative about the coach. Oh, he took over, exactly what you're saying, didn't he? Took over, took us to a premiership. We've had this unbelievable list. Why haven't we won more premierships? And you say, well, he took over, but he took them down a completely different path. He's put you in the finals and the top
first
four
year that they
week
lost,
in, week
Ablett
out.
Left? Was it Ablett left the year he took
he
over?
Left
that's right, yeah, and he won the flag. I don't understand
I think
that's
where there is a negativity amongst some Geelong fans, and it's one I don't get my head around.
I think he has got the best regular season record of all the current coaches, doesn't he, Brownie? Yep. But for some reason, there is a knock, or he just, well, I don't feel he gets the respect.
Yeah, well, he certainly got mine, and I work with him international rules, so you... When
what
he coached the international, so I saw Clarko coach the international rules. His ability to keep it simple, because Brad worked as well, and he's different to Brad, obviously. But the simple, he pulled the game apart, what we needed to value. Players picked it up really quickly, gave them their breathing time and let them react, but created the great environment. Yeah, he's exceptional.
He does, however, just say one more thing. He has always said that he doesn't need to be really super close or friendly with the players. He thinks that distance is a advantage more than a disadvantage. Where we've seen in the past 5 years, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, players and coaches being on the, you know, best mates and all that, whereas he has had a different attitude in regards to that.
He does.
No, he's a star. And
very easy to deal with,
fine.
I find, as well.
Now you can listen to Triple M Footy wherever you are and whenever you want.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
Just download the Listener app and select Triple M.
Now, our next guest, always like having this man on the show. Much rather he'd be playing, though. Phil Davis, injured Giants defender, but he played today for Aspley in the VFL with 18 touches, including 10 marks, 166 games, 18 at Adelaide, 148 at the Giants. He's had the calf issue. He is also the host of the Phil Davis podcast, which is an extraordinarily good show. So if you're into podcasts, make sure you check out the Phil Davis podcast. He joins us on the line now. Mark Howard here. Phil, good afternoon to you. Great man. How are you going?
Hello, Harry. Hi, guys. Thanks for mentioning my B-grade podcast compared to yours, mate.
No. It's a super show. It is a super show. Hey, mate, you played today in the VFL. Good to be back out there. How'd you go for Aspley?
Yeah, no, it was good. I haven't played a twos game for a while, so that was nice. It was good to get through, mate. I must admit, it's been a very frustrating sort of, since the back end of last year, just haven't been able to get a lot of continuity. So, yeah, got to have a run around yesterday. Played the whole game and didn't get embarrassed. That was nice.
That'd be against Aspley, of course.
Now, Phil, if I can just make this about Howie for 1 second. Who would you say you'd model your podcast style on? And do you sort of put his podcast on and sort of take some notes and you know, him being the podcast guru?
Dylan Buckley,
have you sort of just studied his style and his interview? And, is he be a podcast beacon for you?
Oh, he's definitely a mentor, an inverted one. I actually bailed him up one day to tell him how much I liked his podcast, actually. So, I do like his work. I actually saw that he went on the Dil Buckley podcast too. So he's a bit everywhere. Maybe he might get the call up to my podcast at some point, but we're working through that.
I'm waiting. He actually bailed me up in the Noosa Lifesaving Club there, which is one of the great venues.
Yep. A couple of beers.
Yeah, Phil had had a couple.
You would have had a shandy.
Yeah, and I had half a shandy duck. Mate, how difficult has it been watching your mates play and not being able to be out there? Obviously, that's one of the hardest things that professional athletes have to go through, mate.
Oh, incredibly frustrating. In particular, at the moment, I think we've had a relatively quick transition from being a very mature side to a very young side, and you sort of, when you try to bleed young players in, it's nice to do it with some experience, but they've been thrown in the deep end and they've done a really good job. You know, when I went out and Stephen and Matt and a few others, we were 0-3 and really struggling. And they've done a terrific job since then. You know, obviously, the Brisbane game wasn't exactly how we wanted to go into the bye, but we've been able to play some really good football for the last sort of 8 weeks leading to the bye. But yeah, you end up having to do a lot of your work Monday to Friday rather than, you know, this, when the whips are really cracking, which has been frustrating, but very pleasing at the same time to see the progress we've made.
So to your point, you've fought back from 0-3. You can chase finals. Is that an internal conversation that Leon might have got the group together and say, this is where we got ourselves and this is where we can push on and what we need to do? Is like obviously Toby Green and Matty DeBoer back, getting a few back and your imminent return?
Yeah, Ross, obviously, you know, I think we've always been pretty clear that we want to be a finals team. And I guess at Norton 3, you know, you're probably not looking that far ahead, but you also know that you need to get whips a cracking. But I think we've given ourselves a chance to play finals, but we also know, like any good team, that you can only control, you know, the process. You know, you can't look too far ahead. But we understand that the position when we've given ourselves a chance, which is really good, because we couldn't have said that sort of 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks ago. So there's no doubt there's, you know, the expectation that we play well and that gives us a chance back into the year.
I think you're still definitely a chance to make finals, Phil. It's going to be a fascinating second half of the season for the Giants, particularly if Sydney a bit wobbly, maybe West Coast, there might be a spot open up there. Mate, have you caught up? Did you watch the Making Their Mark documentary?
I must admit, I've been a little bit slack there. I've watched about 3 episodes, maybe 4. I'm not sure. I need to get back there and finish it. But when you sort of live it, it's a bit of a different lens to watch it through.
There's been an interesting sort of external conversation about how it reflected on Leon Cameron, because there were some scenes there where he was quite loud with the group and critical at times. What did you think of how that was sort of portrayed? And do you think that is, you know, provides a bit of a fair snapshot about how he coaches the team and his coaching style?
I think it's slightly biased towards that way. But what I will also say is, if you look at all the coaches that were, you know, caught on camera, everyone had different set of circumstances. Like, in the sense that Matthew Nicks knew what he was getting himself into, so did Stuart Dew. While sort of Leon had a side that just made the grand final and were unbelievably inconsistent and was trying to get the best out of them. And I think he tried a lot of different methods last year. Some were using expletives and trying to drive us, and others were, you know, playing to a different chord. And unfortunately, you know, we were very poor. So I guess that is one set of circumstances. And I think Leon's a very good balanced coach who likes to mix, you know, a bit of the old school, get better, and also, you know, trying to probe the player on a more personal level too. So I think it probably emphasised that old school, more old school element that he has in him still, but also I think it was a little bit skewed just because of the circumstances we were compared to the other coaches.
You tend not to get the best out of coaches from a humour value when they are coaching you, but have you been out for a beer with Leon? Because he's got a wicked sense of humour.
Oh, the stories about Leon, they do the rounds, but very quietly. I heard he was very good during his playing days. I missed the end of season for Voldy's last year, but I heard he was on the beer pong table for a very long time. So,
he's a good man.
I heard he was good value, Brownie.
Phil, we are fortunate enough to get the pre-game feed coming into the ground or the studio where we are, wherever we are. And I always notice when we do Giants games, in the warm-up, there's probably 7 or 8 blokes that do the warm-up with their shirts off. And there's some very, very impressive rigs. Are the boys aware at that stage they are being broadcast and potentially can be cut up and then put on air? Is that why they're getting their tops off?
Well, I didn't know that. That's probably because I keep my shirt on. But I presume maybe those blokes might actually know that. But Mummy does it, and he's just got this massive chest and a bit of, because he obviously was so large earlier, the extra skin. So maybe I'll probably put his shirt on.
Yeah, I'm seeing Mummy doing it now. Mummy's probably not one of the blokes I'm talking about, to be honest, Phil. Taranto is he's a very well put together young man. And
I think being in Sydney, you're really, it's about 2 weeks a year you can't have your shirt off. So the boys are sort of very used to being topless throughout the year. And I think before the game, just one final hit.
And what about Josh Kelly? Any update there, Phil? He's one of the players who's obviously weighing up his future, expecting Josh to stay at the club for next year, Phil?
Yeah, I am, Jay. I must admit, one thing about Josh is I never get too caught on a timeline on when he's going to resign.
Sort of operates on his own time there, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He beats to his own drum in that sort of area, Josh. But all I can see is someone that, you know, I think this year in particular, his leadership's taken a really big step forward. And I see someone that's really embedded in the club and is really driving where we're trying to get to. So that's all I can really make the judgment off. I know he's got a very big decision. I guess most players, when they sort of hit that free agency period, it's that next contract you're looking to sign, a really big deal, and you've got to make sure where you want to be for the next 5, 6, 7, or even 8 years.
As we let you go, Phil, you're good to go next week, you reckon, after having a run around yesterday?
Yeah, if the boys go really well today, it might be a bit harder to mount an argument to get in. So, no, hopefully ready to go next Saturday night.
Good on you, Phil. Lovely as always to speak with you. Hope we see you playing next Saturday night. Nice to have a chat with you on a Sunday. Good luck to you and the Giants today, mate.
No, thanks, guys. Have a good call. Cheers.
Nice to speak to Phil Davis. All class, that man, Jay. Yeah, he is. All class.
I wonder whether he's one who could go into coaching after he's finished playing. You know, is him, Scotty Penderby, I think.
He'd have a good opportunity in the media as well. He's very, very good in the media.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, that was tasty. McDonald's Ream Hot Water, Triple M Rocks Footy. Ask your plumber to install a ream. Like duck, they come on steady, they come on hot, and they come on strong. We are 16 minutes away from North Melbourne, taking on the Giants at Blundstone. A nice day down there in Tasmania, right next to the Derwent River, too. Magnificent part of the world. If you haven't been to Tassie, I tell you, it is a beautiful, beautiful part of the world. But Jay-Z, you don't want to talk about the delights of Tasmanian tourism at the moment. You want to talk about the Saints.
Yes, we do, because it was a 6-point loss last night to the Crows. It was bitterly disappointing once again for a St Kilda fan base, which really, the side hasn't taken off like they would have expected this year. Last season, of course, they won that first final against the Western Bulldogs, got the reality check against Richmond, but they've coughed and spluttered all season, the Saints, and one stage unbelievably led by 36 points, and then Adelaide kicked the last 7 straight goals of the game to pip him at the death by 6 points as Riley Thilthorpe, that gun youngster, kicked that goal over the back of his head to break St Kilda's hearts. Let's have a listen to Saints coach Brett Ratten on that second half fade out.
Yeah, we had the game pretty much in control. Probably the period in the back end of the third, they got some momentum and started to score and get a bit of belief. But yeah, that was hard to go through, and especially the way that we went through it too. We just got beat up around the ball, and you know, the contest works, clearances, an area that we were going really well, but just flipped on its head. And you know, we were plus 20 at 3/4 time to test the ball. We lose the game by -3 or something, -23 1/4. Yeah, we're just not strong enough and hard enough. And you know, the competitiveness for 4 quarters, we keep talking about it, but you know, we can fall away in an area, but you just don't get beaten by -23. It's unacceptable.
So that intensity around the footy that had been there went absolutely missing. And that's been the problem for St Kilda, hasn't it, boys? Because they've been pretty good for 2 quarters or 3 quarters, but they have been very patchy. So this leaves the Saints in 13th position. They're on 20 points, so have 5 wins. That's 2 wins behind Richmond in 8th. So finals are going to be absolutely difficult from here. And Brett Ratten acknowledged that once again last night.
It's going to be an unbelievable result for us to make it, especially with our percentage. So, and we're still, you know, the quality of players we've got out, that doesn't make it easy as well. So it might not be our turn, but we've got to make sure that our expectations moving forward are, you know, pushing to the highest levels. And whether the wins this games or not, we've got to, you know, improve on that, this effort tonight and last week, and keep building on that.
They haven't drafted an All-Australian player, as in drafted a player and then him become All-Australian at their club, since 2004. That's 18 years. That's the longest wait in the competition. So that recruiting, they have brought in a lot of mature players. Have they nailed those top
picks?
Jack
Stevens, never All-Australian.
Obviously.
Four-time
Best and Fairest winner. I don't think he was an All-Australian. If you were giving out school grades, Ross, What would you be giving the Saints?
Recruiting or their performance this year?
For their performance this year.
Well, as we talk about, it's all about expectation. So if they played finals last year, there was a lot of hype, and they went and got Crouch, and the expectation clearly was to play finals. They're a fail.
Brownie, what are you giving the Saints?
I think it's a fail. I think it's their recruiting's been the issue. I think they've got some really good homegrown players there, but I think they've spent too much money on players that haven't served them well, and it's probably hamstrung the club a little bit. So I think they've underperformed this year, and I think we had the conversation a few weeks ago, Ross, that they're a conditional football club, and they don't do everything all the time. And how do you go 6 goals, 36 up, dominating a game to 20 inside 50s down in the last 25 minutes of a game? I don't understand that happens.
There's been, I think, not excuses, reasons for where they sit, but I do agree with everything you said, Brownie. It's definitely a fail because we all played finals last year.
Like Gresham,
so, yeah.
Yeah,
who else? Some... Like Ryder missed a chunk. Marshalls, who's critical to them, was out. They have got a few injuries, but in saying that, even when they had better availability, they were very disappointing.
It's a fine line, though, isn't it? Because you talked about their recruiting, Nathan. They brought in mature age players, and they brought in four or five, I think it was last year, Jane. Everyone talked about how St Kilda had smashed it out of the park in the trade period. They'd finished in finals, and people were saying, how good is this? They've brought these players into the footy club, and they've turned it around. They're on the way to success now. This year it doesn't work out, and it's like, oh, geez.
People have been questioning that for a few years,
though.
You're
spot on. You're spot on. Because last year, Butler and all those guys had unbelievable years. This year, they haven't been able to back it up. So it's got nothing to do with recruiting. It's got to sit on the shoulders of the individual players that haven't performed.
So I'm talking about more the big money players that have come in, and you have to put a chunk of change on your salary cap.
And who are they?
To a Bradley Hanabry. Hill who or a Dan Hanabry. So those two things, when you're spending $700 on one and potentially $800 on another, that's a big whack of your total
Brad
player
Hill
payments.
Last year played very good football.
He hasn't played at the level even last year they'd expect at $800,000 a year player.
I really love as a player, and we all do, but he's a bust, isn't he? What's he played, three games?
Is he injured at the moment, Jay, Dan Hanabry?
He's had another setback. So his whole career is at the crossroads. We might not see Daniel Hanabry. I think he's up in Sydney at the moment. I mean, St Kilda's got to make a decision on him at the end.
Do you think they go with him, Wayne? Do you think Hanabry, he's got another year? Or
for me, you follow it through. I think when he actually gets out there,
He was good.
He gives them great value, but he just hasn't been able to get onto the park, clearly. So just to back up what you were saying, Brad, you've got to pay it to someone. And yes, they're big-name players, but you've got to have a crack. Where else does that money go with where they sit at the moment?
It has to go to somebody, but selecting the right players.
I agree with you how everyone was raving how good their recruiting was last year. And now this year they're saying all of a sudden it's a bust because they're losing. That sits, as I said, on the individual players.
Big talks tomorrow between the AFL and Victorian government officials, obviously, regards next weekend's fixture. So Geelong are scheduled to play the Bulldogs at GMHBA Stadium on the Friday night. The AFL and the Cats are optimistic that could still happen with a 25-30% crowd. I think the Victorian government have a very cautious attitude at the moment, so it's going to be a big 24 hours on the fixture front. So there's two other games scheduled to be in Melbourne. That's North Melbourne versus Brisbane on Saturday afternoon, and then Hawthorn versus Essendon on the Sunday. Now, there is some chance they could be moved to Tasmania, both those games. So certainly Hawthorn would be very keen on that, but also Sydney looms as an option at the moment. So I don't think anyone's confident that those games are happening in Victoria next weekend, more so cautiously optimistic. It's a big 24 hours there. It's hard to presume or to know what the Victorian government's advice is going
to
be.
How many cases in Victoria today?
One was there.
Okay.
Quarantining, doing all the right things.
So we'd need to see some more duck eggs over the next few days for there to be footy. There is an appetite for footy to come back, clearly, but it will be. Well, there's no commitments at this stage where they're going to be played.
You know what I'm glad that you haven't done today that other journos are doing, including some of our good friends, talking about the grand final already.
Okay.
I'm glad you haven't.
It upset you last night, didn't it?
Oh, well, it's just rhubarb. Why are we talking about where the grand final is going to be played at this stage when
we don't know?
Let's just leave it for
and
about 6 weeks.
And crushing the Victorian public. Yeah. We've had enough. We're hanging on to the grand final. You're trying to rip it from us.
If you're listening, Damo, Tommy Brown.
Before I finish off, Howie, can I ask one more question?
Yes, mate.
Nathan Buckley's coaching career. So it ends tomorrow against Sydney at the SCG. Start with you, Brownie. What kind of a coach was Nathan Buckley? Was he a good coach? Was he a great coach? How do you think he'd be remembered for his coaching ability?
Well, I think he's been a great coach. Obviously, he gets to a grand final. He's five goals up. You can't do much more than that. He was a defensive style of coach, but I think he would look back, and if you look back at the success, wins and losses, I think he's done a great job.
Roscoe?
He implemented cultural change, which we're all aware of.
Yep.
Unfortunately, they felt compelled to do that from Eddie Maguire down within their club.
Mm-hmm.
So when they talk about he took over a young premiership list, yes, he did, but the cultural change to drive what needed to happen there, he bore the brunt of that.
Yeah, which was a bit unpopular at the time too.
Yeah, yeah, and our favourite son. So without casting any aspersions. And then they rebuilt. If the measure is, did he get the best out of his group? Like Mick Miles talks about when, you know, Lucuri and Buckley going to grand finals. I think he got the best out of them.
I think the first 5 years were not great. I think his relationships, he was clearly a different style of coach and thought it had to be his way or no way. Everyone had to prepare like him. So I think he put a lot of players offside early. And then clearly after that review and that big chat that he had going into the 18 season, he changed his whole philosophy in how he went about it with his players. And I think that's when he started to become a really, really good coach. And I think right now he's the best coach he's ever been as of right now.
It's a good point.
100%.
Clarkey, it's not for me, and I'm certainly not in a position to be commenting on Nathan Buckley as a coach or how he goes about game plan. I just know sitting on the boundary for all the years I've had, I always thought I've never seen a coach that shows as much care for his players. Whether he's a good coach or not, this
Come
is not for you
mate,
guys.
You didn't see me
Hang
in
on.
Action,
I've never
you?
Seen a bloke with so much care for his players on the bench and a coach that seemed to have so much time in the game to chat with his players almost teaching them the game. And I always thought to myself, there is a bloke you would love to coach your kids. Now, that has nothing to do with how he's gone in the game, Duck, but geez, he seemed to have such an empathy and an understanding and want to teach his players how to get better.
But Howie, the question is he as good as what Sam Mitchell's going to become? Because you thought he would be the greatest coach the game
question.
Has ever seen.
Well, and I might be proven correct with that. I might be proven correct
what
with
was
that.
The
remarkable.
Term?
Remarkable. Yeah, I'm sticking by that. I'm sticking by that. He might be in competition for you for a job coming up. So
just comment.
I talk about this. I've spoken about this a few times, and I'll say it again about Sam Mitchell. He could be a great coach. Could be. But the pressure, if he's taking over from Clarko, what happened to Knights when he took over from Sheedy? What happened to Voss when he took after Matthews? I mean, sometime they're big shoes to fill when you're going in after someone like that. If I'm Sam Mitchell, I'm doing a bit longer apprenticeship. I'm just saying I would be all going.
And let Clarko rebuild the list a little bit
or
more.
Or getting a job at another club.
I'd be saying, Clarko, do another 3 years. You take all the heat because you can. And then when we're just rid of the pop a little bit.
But in all this, we haven't heard Sam say, right, I want to apply for a senior coaching job. He has not said that once.
No.
He's very ambitious, though.
Yeah.
He's very.
How do you know when you're ready, Ross?
You're the wrong bloke. I was the accidental coach. It's not something I wanted to do, to be honest. I hadn't planned. I was planning to get out.
So someone told you, or how did you know?
St. Kilda rang up and said, come down to the interview. I go, you serious? And then some people have got their. I didn't have a PowerPoint, you know, anything. I had to draw it up and get the secretary, Gina Keeble, to type it up for me confidentially. So I was the accidental coach. And to be honest, that's why I stuffed it up a little bit early, which I've said, I'm on record.
Yep.
You know, so. But being assistant coach can't prepare you for the leadership challenges and what's going to come across your desk and the pressure that's brought to bear. Where's Brett Ratton now? We're seeing the pressure come. I've seen his demeanour change over the last... Because the pressure, there's only one release valve, and that's winning. And Noble's turn's going to come. At the minute, he's having free swings. We're developing. But there'll be a come a time where the expectation changes. And if you don't start winning, like Teague, it was a honeymoon early. But now, when you're expected to win, and the more you win, the more you're expected to win. Like Chris Scott. His record, what is he, 70%?
Something like that. And
regular season, people are saying, can he coach?
Yeah.
Like, so then if you don't win a flag and then you're under pressure. I went 20-2, lost three games for the year by a collective total of 17 points and you still failed. Get your head around that. So it's a tough business.
Why would you do it, Ross?
Well, that's why I'm here.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.